Let's pray. Lord in heaven, I'm aware every week when I get up that unless your Holy Spirit empowers your truth, this means nothing. But we know your word is active and living. It's useful for teaching, correction, and rebuking. And that you put messages on our hearts. So give me the ability to communicate it. Would it be received with ears that can hear? And would we adjust to be ever more like you and to embrace who you've called us to be and who you've redeemed us to be? And we say that carefully but with confidence in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's Father's Day. So I was talking to the guys in the office and I said, you know, Father's Day, I designed, we were planned out through Thanksgiving with the preaching. And when I talked about Father's Day, they said, well, what are you going to preach on? And I went, duh, fathers. Of course I'm going to preach on Father's Day. And Tom made a comment to me then and reinforced it this week. He said, I'm sick of going to Father's Day services and coming away feeling beat up. And I'm like, yeah, that's guys. That's what we do to each other. We kind of... But I want to talk to you a few minutes about, just a second, about my goal this morning. I believe that God designed us. And he called us to be fathers. He created us unique, male and female. He saw that it was good. He gave us gender. He gave us roles. If any of this is new or confusing to you, just go back into the website. You can listen to what we've been talking about since January, about God's intention when he created us. Was that at the back? I said, you know how God designed us for a purpose? It's as ridiculous as saying this is what they should have used for the puppet show, right? You'd have seen them. You'd have seen everything that's going on. It wasn't designed for a puppet show. It was designed to hold my notes and my water. God designed us with a purpose. Dads, I don't want you to guilt trip this morning. I don't want you to come here and go, oh, okay, I'm going to hear what I should be doing that I'm not. I'm going to leave here overwhelmed. I don't want you to come this morning and hear anything that's going to cause you to have regrets or to leave with hopelessness. My goal this morning is to remind you of God's design and intention in calling you to the role of fatherhood, to encourage a dad that's here to keep on keeping on, and to remind us and point us in the direction of growth and development. So know where my heart is this morning, know where I'm coming from, and know that I'm going to have to preach like cure if I'm going to get done. Oh, it's just not going to get old making fun of him, is it? So let's get started. I design fathers. The first thing I want you to know about God's design for fathers is that he didn't expect you to figure it out on your own. He didn't say, I'm going to create the world, I'm going to make a way for you to have children, I'm going to create the boundaries for a family, and you guys will just have to figure it out. No, no, no. He said, I want you to be able to learn from me. He calls himself the Father. He says, we're to learn from the Father. Scripture calls God our Father. Jesus, in teaching us to pray, says what? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The imagery is tied to something we relate to absolutely and clearly. He says we worship the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There seems to be this passing on of a model and of relationship, and we need to learn from the Father. I don't know many of you here this morning, or some of you, but I wanted to start with this, that God is the creator of all, and all of the heavens and the earth are his. Doesn't mean that everyone has God as their father. I want to be absolutely and abundantly clear on this point. You must have a voluntary, chosen relationship with God the Father who sent his son to redeem you. Let me explain this, and I'm going to read it so I don't miss anything. God is the father only of those who are led by the spirit of his son. In Romans 8 and 9, verses 14 and 15, Paul says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. All who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Not everyone can lay claim to the privileges of knowing God as Father. Only those who are born of God, John 1:13, who receive Christ, John 1:12, who are led by the Spirit, Romans 8:14, and have the right to receive the inheritance of the children. Promises like Matthew 7:11, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? The privilege of prayer and the promise that God will work all things together for your good is part of the inheritance of sonship. This is what it means to have God as your Father. And so as I talk about learning from the Father, first and foremost, if you're here and you're a dad and you go, I want to learn to be a better father, it starts with having a relationship with our Father who is in heaven, with God. And it comes by accepting his redemptive work of Jesus on a cross and entering into that relationship. We have to be clear on how to have it. We have to be clear on how to enter into it. And then we will be clear on who our Father is. From there, we can start to learn some things about being a father. In the design, he says, first and foremost, you need to be committed to God. There's an example evidenced in Scripture where God forms a relationship with Adam and Eve. When they sin, he cares for them even though they go out of the garden. He continues to work his redemptive purpose throughout the story. It's all there for you to read. You can understand how a dad is to treat his children, how a father loves and yet disciplines, how a father forgives and yet holds consequences, how a father gives grace. It's all there in the story. And the first thing you need to do is be a student of Scripture. Reading the story and seeing how God relates with his people if he's to be our Father. The second thing you need to do is to embrace the instruction given by Scripture. If you went to the book of Proverbs, if you went to the book of Deuteronomy, there's instruction littered throughout Scripture that says, fathers, this is what you need to be doing. Teach your children this. Love your wife like this. Love your kids like this. Lead your family this way. It is littered with literal instruction that you can write down, that you can take to your heart, and then empowered by the Holy Spirit, you can live out in your life. You need to be a student of the whole picture of how God deals with his people, a student of the instruction in Scripture, and then thirdly, to be an effective father, you need to embrace the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. We love the Lone Ranger mentality. We love to say, we can get her done. Just put your mind to it. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Self-made man. Don't fall for that cultural lie and that trap. God designed us not only to need one another, but in order to live the life he's called us to, and to evidence the power in our family, in our homes, and with our kids that we're to evidence, we're to be walking with the power of the Holy Spirit empowering us. It says that something amazing happens at conversion, that new life comes into us. And Jesus said, I'm sending you the Spirit, the Counselor. And he gifts the church, and he equips, and he convicts of sin, and he does this active work in our life. Be committed to God by studying the example evidenced in Scripture, embracing the instructions of God in relation to your role and what he's called you to do, and being a person who walks in the empowerment and works in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, you need to be claiming the promises. Our culture is slamming dads. Yes? I mean, I could have brought you clip after clip after clip of popular television shows where they make dads look like buffoons. Now, honestly, that doesn't happen more than three times a day. Okay, and there's 24 hours in a day, so we aren't dumb. You know what? I'm all for poking fun at ourselves. I'm all for having a laugh. But if we were to get really serious for a second, some of it creates an atmosphere of disrespect with our children and from our wives. Some of it causes you to look upon dad as more of an ATM and a history lesson about how things used to be. Not as someone who loves you, protects you, and is investing life-giving wisdom into your choices and course of life. Here's the promises about a righteous man, about a dad who does well. Men, write these down. Claim them in your heart. Don't let anything steal them. Here they are, Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. You want to secure an inheritance for your children? You want to leave something worthy of passing on? You want to influence your grandchildren's lives? Be righteous. Proverbs 14, 26. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. This verse, if we were to unpack it, I could preach a whole Father's Day message on it. What does it mean to walk in the fear of God? And what does it mean in your home to fear God? Not to do what's culturally acceptable, not to make compromise, but to fear God and his ways and to hold that up. Well, the Bible says that will become a secure fortress. And the Bible goes on to say that for your kids coming in out of our world, that will be a refuge, a place of restoration, a place of renewal, a place of training, a place of equipping, a center for ministry. Proverbs 17:6, for you grandparents out there, I picked it special. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are a pride to their children. Or Psalms 127 verses 3 to 5. It says this, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. I'm not saying you're blessed just because you're fertile. We're going to talk about that in a minute. It says that children can be a great blessing from God himself. That if you embrace your role and calling as father, you can impact generations. In your old age, you will celebrate and enjoy. And it says that you will be blessed by God for what he's called you to. There's great reward, blessing, and promise attached to this privileged role. So not only do you need to be committed to God, studying the example, embracing the instruction, receiving the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, claiming the promises of God over your family, and as you serve, you need to embrace the role. You were created by God to be fathers. In Genesis it says, and I'm not going to rehash everything we've already talked about, so you can go back and listen to it. It says he created man in his image, man and woman, male and female, he created them, he called it good. He said to them, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, fill it. Okay? When he said that, he said, be fruitful. Now, there's a difference between being fruitful and being fertile. You want to know what it is? You see, God gave us the ability to procreate within boundaries, and our culture has said, let's do it our way. Let's do whatever we want. And we've got lots of little boys out there that are talking little girls into things, and they're having babies, and they have no instruction and no plan and no understanding of the design, and they're creating no families, and these kids are not being raised where they're cultivated, tended to be fruitful. They're simply growing wild. They're growing without love, without instruction, without wisdom, without discipline. And so we say, oh, you know what? At heart, they're all good. No, the Bible says our hearts are deceitful and wicked and dark. And without God, we're desperately lost and prone to sin. And we need families where there's, we understand the love of God and we understand the correction of God and we understand what God's design was. There's a difference between being fertile and being fruitful. To be fruitful means to cultivate, to see produce, to tend, to care for, to use wisdom, to give dedicated time and energy towards. In Colossians 3:21, it says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. And he's talking about when fathers just say, because I say so, and there's just hard and fast rules, and this has to happen, and they say, They're oppressive in what they do. It says we're to come alongside and gently and carefully encourage and train and cultivate and raise. And we need to embrace the role God created us to have, not abusing our power, not abusing our position, but serving in our families. Dads, the very first thing you need to know is you need to learn from the Father. He modeled it for you, gave you a story. He wrote down specific instructions. All you got to do is find them. He gave you the Holy Spirit as soon as you have a relationship with Him. More than that, He went on to say, this was my plan from the beginning. I got a role for you that I will gift you and embrace you. And here's my promise for the generations of your family if you fill it. Guys, if you're here and you've lost heart, if you're here and you've lost focus, today's the day to change. Say, it's time to do this differently. Secondly, I want to talk to you about developing the environment. The Bible calls the Father to prepare and develop the environment in which the role given by God is carried out. I was privileged to stop at the farm, my cousin's place, on Monday. Awesome visit, awesome time. And we were looking at some of their crops and driving around and looking at some of the new equipment and stuff. And I'm just amazed with how much work they've done with some of the new land they've acquired to create drainage and runoff and prevent blowing and to farm with techniques that gave that seed every chance to not be drowned out, to not be too dry, to be the right distance down, and to grow and to flourish and to create a crop. As I was preparing my message, I'm staggered to think if we spent that kind of time and energy preparing an environment, what would it look like? And here's what I see Scripture calling us men, single men, young men, men who are already married, this all applies to do in preparing the environment for a fruitful family. First, pursue a good wife. Where's my son? I did this to my daughter, so he's in Sunday school. Oh, man. Okay, you all tell him, dude, pursue a good wife, okay? Who's with me? Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. I'm not going to rehash everything about the design of God creating us male and female. I will say this. You need to find someone committed to God's design and in agreement with you to embrace it and to do life. Guys, if you're out there and you're looking for a wife, ask the right questions. Don't ask the wrong questions. Ask the questions about their heart after God, their understanding of the design, but ask the questions about, are you wanting to partner with somebody in creating a family and having kids and doing this thing God's way? But pursue a good wife. Now, I'm going to take that. I was going to say to the unmarried people here, there's a process. Honor her, respect her, ask her daddy, marry her, and serve her. And don't mix those up. Provide the conditions for her to thrive. Gentlemen, when I say pursue a good wife, I'm going to refer back to the message I preached on husbands and wives and on what it means to honor your wife, what it means to serve her, what it means to provide the conditions for her to reach her maximum impact for God and to create the environment around which she can thrive and survive in your home. You have a responsibility to put her first and to serve her and to get busy doing that stuff. Pursue a good wife. Secondly, in developing the environment, I got to say this, you need to provide for your family. Here's what it says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. So understand, this is huge, right? This is an important thing because you're open to blame if you don't do it. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Guys, you need to choose a role in the marketplace and apply yourself. You need to learn about money, stewardship, and finances. You need to put your house in order for security and stability so that the family can grow and flourish. So far as it depends on your control, you need to make a plan and get the job done. Now, some of you are thinking, what about in countries where they just work and all they get is what they harvest that day? Good. Those guys plan to get up and go to work. They have a place that they know they're going. They have an intention to harvest and come back and feed the family. You live in this culture and environment. And if you are irresponsible as a single man with your money, get your head on straight. There is help everywhere around you. Go and see somebody. Come and see me. I'll hook you up with somebody. And we'll talk about budgets and planning and finance, because that is part of the conditions and environment for families to thrive and survive. You want to know what the number one cause of divorce right now in our country is? And it's not infidelity. What do you think it is? Money. The availability of credit. Guys going out and being big boys with big toys that they can't afford. You want to provide the environment to be a great dad and to pass lessons on. First, learn from the father. And if you learn stewardship lessons from the father, one of the things you're going to put in place is providing for your family and managing your finances well. And not leading them into situations that are destabilizing and stressful. The Bible is really, really clear in this order. Make a stable environment. And thirdly, if you want to provide for the conditions, providing a good environment, invest in a community of faith. The local church is called the family of God, the household of God. We've preached on this. You can go back and look. But the model is that the older are investing in the younger, that there's wisdom passed on, that we're learning from each other, that we're bearing one another's burdens, we're supporting one another, we're growing together. But here's the thing. In the larger community, embracing and supporting the values taught in the home, this is a place where we serve together, where we worship together, where we steward God's things together, where we're found faithful. This is where you, gentlemen, need to be introducing your children to the bride of Christ. God has designed for them to be a part of it, and if for their growth to happen, you need to get them into one. To provide the conditions to be a great dad, you need to do three things. Pursue a good woman. Love the wife God gives you. Serve her. Create a strong bond. You need to provide for your family. Live within your means. Plan to go to work. But you've got to provide for them. Feed them. Clothe them. That doesn't mean you give them all their wants and needs. That doesn't mean that you give them everything they ask for and have horrendous debt. That means that you steward well and know God's plan. And thirdly, in providing the environment, you need to find and invest in a community of faith. You know, you might think I'm special because we're pastoral couple or whatever, but we're not. This could happen for any of you. When we had children, we were a long ways from Grandpa and Grandma. And Karina and I know this is a shock, didn't know anything about kids. And if I didn't say this as a disclaimer early on, let me say it now. I still don't know anything about kids. This is just principles. I'm a fellow struggler. We're trying to figure out how to raise them. There was some people in our life. Joe and Rosalie Mills were two. And when we were trying to get this baby to sleep at night, and she had her days and nights mixed up, and we were broke beyond belief and couldn't believe what diapers cost. They showed up one day at our house with a car seat for us. Now, $100 to me isn't that big a deal. Then, I had nothing left at the end of the month. They would come and take our squalling, beautiful daughter for an evening, for a couple hours, and say, "You guys go have coffee. You go talk." And they loved our kids. You don't know the ministry they had in our lives. You don't know the hope they gave us. They are close, close friends to this day. Shirley, Michon, just loved our kids. And ministered to our kids. And it blessed our home. And we had surrogate grandpas and grandmas and people who cared. Well, but let's fast forward to here. We moved here 3 years ago. And 3 years ago, we didn't know anybody, and our kids didn't know anybody. Well, they'd come to youth, and they met some other kids, and they'd meet some kids at school. We started having a bunch of the single youth leaders to our home on Wednesday night for supper. We got to know some of them, and they got to know my kids. And as we talked around our table, and we talked about the things we dreamed of doing and the things we were going to do, and they got to know my kids, I know that at small group and at other times, my kids have gone to those kids and said, I'm thinking about this. This is going on with me. What should I do here? And they're seeing modeled and invested the values that we're trying to model and teach because of community and relationship. Fathers, you have been given a privilege with your children. It's easy to come home and build yourself a great media room. Have fantastic entertainment and hobbies that take you away from time with your family. You need to balance that. I'm not speaking against it all. But it's very easy for you to not become so busy with your stuff that you don't invest in the community of faith and you don't allow others into your home and into your lives and into your family's lives so that they can shape alongside you. God designed this thing to work together. It's super important. And if you want to be a great dad, it's part of the environment where your children flourish. I got to hurry up. Number three, ingrained pillars for life. I'm at this thing for Hallidays yesterday, the RCMP farewell for Brian after 28 years of service, and his kids all came up. And this guy built this awesome little steel building over his fire pit. It's just really cool. I was just in awe of it. And it's got four pillars, right, where they're bolted to the ground that supports everything in a wind and in a storm and in a... And he has to inspect that the rust and that isn't breaking those off. And that's kind of the only, like, he's got to inspect it for cracks. Dads, I'm going to give you four pillars you need to look at right now and how you're doing the father thing. And there's probably more, but four that I think are important. And then we're going to do the so what. Dads, what you model and teach will become a default for your kids about how to do life. How you do it will set their expectations. So let me talk about four key pillars. The first is repentance. If you are anything like me, you sin and you fail. You're going to be short-tempered with your children. You're going to speak to your wife in a way you shouldn't. You're going to make decisions you need to repent of. That's life. I'm less worried about those decisions and what you do, and I'm more worried about how you repent. The Bible says that repentance needs to happen for your sin and your failure, both before God and others. It says when the Holy Spirit of God shows you your sin or you recognize it, you're to acknowledge it. That's sin. That's not what God intended. You're to confess it. Forgive me, Father, I've sinned. You're to receive forgiveness available in the cross there for you, promised by God. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us your sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then it says you're to turn from the behavior. Okay? Dads, you need a process of repentance modeled before your family. Modeled with your family. Where you ask for their forgiveness, you receive their forgiveness. Where they ask for yours, and forgiveness is extended, and grace is given. How are you doing at being a man with a clear view of your sin, with a clear understanding of repentance, and a clear practice for your kids to model? Second, discipline. Don't you hate this one? Proverbs 3:11 and 12. My son, Do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Don't miss this. Did you notice the word wasn't punishment? It was discipline. You see, punishment is saying, I'm going to make you pay for what you did. Discipline says, I need to correct the behavior that's happening so that you don't encounter further damage or harm. So that we ingrain the right things. It doesn't say that God punishes us, but he does discipline us because he loves us and he delights in us. Men, are you accepting the Lord's love and discipline for you personally? And are you willing to reflect that same love for your children, even when it causes friction in the relationship? Discipline is a part of knowing God. It's a part of God's relationship with us. And it needs to be a part of our love relationship with our kids. How you do it's important. It's not in the scope of this sermon. I can give you tons of resources, but discipline's important. Thirdly, instruction. Third pillar. Proverbs 31 and following. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she's more profitable than silver and yields a better return than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. You just stop right there. Nothing you can desire can compare with her? Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are the riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By the wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundation. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. And listen to this. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. The third pillar is, are you a pursuer of wisdom? Are you a lifelong learner? You know, many of us get to the been there, done that stage. We get busy with just existing and doing. Are you personally growing and learning in your knowledge of God, your understanding of his word, your knowledge of his universe, his world, of what's happening in your community, of politics, of, are you a student of culture? Are you engaged in actively learning and growing? Because we're not supposed to stop. We need to be turning to Scripture for truth, for answers, receiving instruction. And we're supposed to spend our life passing on the wisdom we're learning, teaching, passing on knowledge, discovering with our children at all stages of life, and learning from our children. If you want to pick that passage apart, there's a ton in there about how important it is to continue to gain wisdom, to gain insight, and to apply it to life. How are you doing, Dad, at being a lifelong learner? Or have you fallen into doing what you already know and avoiding what you don't? And finally, protection. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. You need to care enough to be informed and involved, not only with your marriage, not only with your family, not only with your relatives, not only in your community, but also in your world. Personally, you need to be claiming God's protection every day on your life, putting on the armor of God, and praying over your home and your family. You need to be providing a protection for your home and your loved ones that is modeled in Scripture, that is instructed in Scripture, and that is easy for you to learn and to do. But you also need to be active in the protection of the defenseless. For it is by doing that that you model the heart of God before your kids and that they learn what it should look like. Let's ask the big question. I'm out of time. It's Father's Day. We celebrate the privilege. We honor those called to that role. And this is a convicting message for me as a fellow father trying to do it. In seeking to fill the role, there's a few things you need to remember. First, you have to have a relationship with God as your Father. If you don't, there's a way to do that. It's clear. It's outlined in Scripture. Come talk to me afterwards. I'll help you. You need to know that you have a Father relationship with Almighty God. But then you need to get busy and learn from the example that Scripture records. The story is clear, and the model that God evidenced for us is recorded and listed for us to learn from. Secondly, you need to know the verses that pertain to your role. You need to gain the knowledge and instruction that God has clearly placed there, and you need to figure out how to do that in your place in your culture. And thirdly, you need to begin serving in the power of the living Spirit of God. If you do not know what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be relying on God to enable your effort, and to be walking in the power of the Spirit, come talk to me. We'll figure it out together. Secondly, you need to cement the promises. God promises that if you walk in this role and do it His way, that He will bless you. You need to claim that. And you need to not forget why this is so important. Thirdly, look at it like you got to plant a garden. Look at you like you got to build something and you need to prepare the foundation. You've got to prepare the environment for this to work. So here are the hard questions. Do you have a spouse that is prepared to partner with you and knows the roles God has? If not, together you need to go on a journey of discovery. You need to get alone. You need to start hash things out. You need to start opening up the dialogue and the conversation about how we're going to do this together. And if you're single and you have not yet chosen a wife, you need to choose. Come on, you're supposed to help me with my son. Choose a good woman. Okay, let's say again. Choose a good woman. Yeah. Who loves God and wants to do this with you. Secondly, you need to provide for your family. Guys, if you are here and you are incapable of providing for your family, if you have dug yourself a financial hole and you're on the brink all the time and your wife's wondering about whether she can use the card to buy groceries, we probably need to talk. We got some great people to help you figure this out. But gentlemen, if you don't understand biblical stewardship, it's time for us to get this figured out. It cannot continue to be the number one cause of divorce. We have to stop this. One of the environments for you to be a great dad is a stable financial environment. There are things outside of your control. I am not a legalist. You could get sick, you could have cancer, you could lose your job, things could go upside down, and we're your church family and we're here to help you. But if you simply don't have the right perspective around the decision-making process, we need to help you change that. Let's talk. And find a church and dig in. If you're a dad and you're here and you're not committed to a church, and your family isn't seeing you serve, isn't seeing you give, isn't seeing you work, you need to go home and get one, wherever home is. And if you're here and you're a dad and you're saying, I want my kids to do great, I want to experience this blessing from God, I want to fill the role God's called me to, then dig in. We're here for you. Because God designed it to work like that. And then let's do our pillars check. Gentlemen, take this home. How is my practice of repentance and my extension of forgiveness to others? For if you are not a forgiving person, your family will know. And your kids will be unforgiving and think it's okay. If you're not a person who they ever see say, I'm sorry or I'm wrong, or know what it means to repent, your children will not repent because they'll think that's what a man does. He's never wrong. How's your practice of repentance? How's your acceptance of a loving father's discipline? Are you willing to be disciplined by God? And are you willing to lovingly and carefully discipline your children, your family? How are you doing at lifelong learning? Are you growing? Are you invested? Are you passing it on? And how are you doing in the whole area of protection? Do you put on the armor of God? Do you defend the defenseless? Are you careful about what comes into your home? Fathers, you've been given an awesome role. God has agreed that if you just step forward and try, he's going to empower you, equip you. He's going to bring other men into your life. We can do this. And do you want to know what happens when we do? Strong families. You want to know what strong families produce? Strong children. The whole world could be changed. Today's the day to step up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for it is truth and convicting to my heart and life. I thank you for your people. I love them. And take away anything that's just been me. And Lord, would you just, in each and every one of our hearts here, reveal yourself to us that we might respond and be changed. And we ask it carefully in Jesus' name. Amen.